Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. The corn is as high as an elephant's eye. Matthew, what's that from?
Is it Sound of Music?
No.
What's it from?
It's from Oklahoma, where the winds come sweeping down the plain. And the thunder kick the shit out of the Suns, and then we do a post-game pod.
I love how before the pod started, you're like, what should I come up with to say? And then you just break out in a song, and I just start cracking up. It's a good way to get us going, though, you know?
O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A, city, kick the shit out of P-H-X, go! And that's what happened tonight, ladies and jamsters. Suns go to Oklahoma City, and the season series is officially swept by the Thunder. Even with no SGA, they roll the Suns up in a swisher sweet and smoke them like a Philly blunt. They kicked them around the arena like a Scottsdale Community College kid kicking a hacky sack on a nice spring day. Go artichokes, baby. It was just one of those games where the Suns came out, had some fight, had some fire, and the Oklahoma City Thunder were hitting their shots, tough shots, I might say. And as the game progressed, the defense tired for the Suns. The shots kept going for the Thunder. They win by, what, like 25 points? Does this mean we owe Biscuits and the Bear $25?
Oh, we'd be in so much debt this year. Just because our losses, we've always lost. Every time we lose is by like 20 points.
I know.
So. Our wins are like 7 or 6 points. We do have more of them, obviously, with like the 43 of them, but we
That's
would be
something
in debt for sure.
We need to do at the end of the regular season is just look at the overall point differential and see if we actually owe Biscuits and the Bear some money, or if they ended up like what the net positive is for the Suns. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about plenty more on this edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. My name is John Voida, managing editor of Bright Side of the Sun. You can follow me at Darth Voida on Twitter. You can follow the show at Suns Jam on all your socials. You can follow Matthew
at Matthew Lissy.
Just follow, not anywhere though. Not on Twitter. Not on Instagram. No, just follow Matthew Lissy. That's the advice we're giving you tonight.
Follow me right behind me.
He likes to go to Chick-fil-A sometimes. Yeah. El Pollo Loco is a popular spot.
I might
for Matthew
fart.
Lissy.
Be careful.
Be careful. I recommend following him from the front. You won't be downwind. So technically
awkward.
You are. You're following him. You're really far behind. You're an entire world behind him. You're so far ahead of him. You're behind, or you'd be so far behind him. You're ahead of him. That's what I'll go with. So subscribe, rate, and review if you feel like you want to, like you want to support the show. Give a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. If you're on Twitter, head over to our YouTube page. If you like, give us a thumbs up. We appreciate it. We appreciate you hanging out here. I'm feeling a lot better, so I'm excited to do the podcast tonight. So without further ado, it's a Friday night. I'm cracking open a Coors Light. I miss Matthew drinking wine.
Yeah, I know. You know, I was so disappointed in myself. I was like, as soon as I get on the pod with this wine, I'm like, I'm going to let John down again. That was the third time I think I've been on the pod just hosting myself with someone else, and I've had a drink.
And that's so when apologize. You drink. You're kind of a dick.
It works out that way.
It was funny though, because as the podcast progressed, you got a little bit more intoxicated. Dare I say you got a little Josh Giddy. Oh, good segue into the Suns tonight. Yeah, cheers. go to Oklahoma and they lose to the Thunder. Which brings me, of course, to my first question from my good friend Matthew here.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
Matthew, I got to ask, should I have opened with Oklahoma, or should have I opened with Oklahoma's favorite son, Garth Brooks, and saying, the Thunder rolls, because that's what they did. Good offense by the Suns without SG, or good offense by the Thunder, or bad defense by the Suns tonight? What do you think?
I think it was really good offense. It just shows, you know, the whole SGA debate where I had it in my head where SGA might be an MVP kind of goes out the window, obviously, because it's just such a good team, man. Moving the ball without him, you know, it's a team that's still going to be difficult to beat without SGA. And I didn't even know, like, till I got home in the second half, I'm like, wait, I didn't hear SGA at all on the radio on the way home. Is he out and we're losing like this? So I had no idea. But I think the defense, from what I heard on the radio, I think it was moving around. They were hitting some tough shots early on, and they just kept rolling. And then the Suns, obviously, in the third quarter, fell apart. So
I agree. It was what it displayed tonight, what the Thunder displayed tonight, is why they are a team that is vying for one of the top spots in the Western Conference, why they have over 50 wins and only 20-something losses, and why they are, from a systematic standpoint, a really solid basketball team. Because without their star, there's confidence, there's ball movement, there's hustle. There's more heart than we see from the Suns on a consistent basis. There's grit, which is a term I've used a lot this season. And it's more than just a breakfast grain. It's what the Suns lack at times. And it's what Oklahoma City definitely possessed. And in the first half, I mean, the Suns, in my opinion, had a solid first half. You know, they were still down, you know, 70-59 at halftime. They were down 11 points. But I felt they played well. They were 7 of 18 from beyond the arc. They shot 53%. But to your point, Matthew, the Thunder themselves had also just an unreal first half. They shot 62% from the field. They were 8 of 11, which is 72.7% from beyond the arc. Isaiah Joe, who once upon a time was what's that award that we used to hand out for the guy who comes out of nowhere and kicks the shit out of you? The Jack Taylor Award.
Jack Taylor Award.
Once upon a time, he was a Jack Taylor Award winner because he came out of nowhere and would just eviscerate the Suns. We're like, who the hell is this guy? He does it with regularity now. I mean, in the first half for him, he was 5 of 6 from the field and 4 of 4 from beyond the arc. So as well as the Suns had played offensively, defensively, I felt like they were forcing the Thunder into tough shot making situations, and the Thunder were simply just delivering. Two of the shots that Joe made were highly contested threes leaning away, and he still just netted them. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. It's going to be one of these nights where overall we're just not going to have the offensive firepower, because this team at home booing Kevin Durant on every possession in which he touched the ball, they still definitely hold a grudge there, felt the momentum. And you know, being down 11 at halftime, I'm like, okay, the Suns have a chance here if they continue playing the way that they did. Unfortunately, going into the second half, that didn't occur. The shooting fell off dramatically. They shot 26% from beyond the arc. They shot 36% from the field overall, whereas the Thunder continued their hot shooting 42% in the second half and 50% from the field. So, I mean, they shot them out of Paycom Arena. Over there in Oklahoma.
I use Paycom. That's crazy. I didn't even realize that.
Do you really? What is Paycom?
It's just like they pay you. They deal with paychecks, 401k, and all that stuff. It's kind of like an ADP. You have ADP?
Yeah, you know me. No, what's ADP?
It's like Paycom.
So Paycom is ADP, and ADP is Paycom.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't do 401ks. I work for the state, dude. We're like 403As and Bs, homie. Like, shit, dog.
Yeah, dude. Fucking,
no, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking 401K is a jip, homie. You come to some jam session to hear about the Suns. We're going to give you some financial advice. If you have your money in a 401K, you are wrong. The great Dave King once told me, when I asked him about 401K, he goes, never say those words to me ever again.
Mr. Why is Dave. That?
Because it's such a bad deal.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, it's like if someone asks you, do you invest? I'm like, yeah, I do 401k.
No. You're like, yeah, Paycom. Yeah.
Yeah, Paycom. You heard of it? It's like ADP. Before I get into shenanigans really quick, Frank Vogel joins the chat, donates $4.99, says, I'm sorry, Jamsters. Take it easy on me tonight, please. That was right after John Nelson says, fire fucking Vogel.
So bring up Frank Vogel's comment again. Again, says, I'm and $4.99 in the super chat. So thank you, Frank, with all the millions of dollars that you're making. You donated $5.
Maybe he meant $499.
It's probably $1,000. Yeah, probably he mistyped. And we appreciate that. Fat fingers, Frank. We get it. Says, I'm sorry, Jamsters. Take it easy on me tonight, please. Do you blame Frank Vogel at all tonight for the way that the Suns perform?
All right. Well, so Bradley Beal says that's our last game. He says Frank Vogel basically had to get up in our ass to get us going. What the fuck does that even mean? I mean, get up in our ass. Obviously, that's like butt sex. But what he's talking about is this coach has to get them up for the game. That just kind of rubbed me the wrong way when I heard that. I'm like, why the hell do you have to be so... just so obvious, really, in a way where you're just kind of revealing so much behind the scenes. I feel like Beal is so honest with everything that he reveals in his post-game news conference interviews. And it just, it kind of upsets me sometimes because when I hear them, like maybe they're just not ready all the time and he has to get them ready. I don't know. Like, dude, he dresses them? Yeah, he has to get them ready.
He's
like, what's the weather out? Siri, what's the weather? 80 degrees? Should I do pants or shorts on you guys? I don't want you to get too hot.
Hey, Alexa.
Oh, Siri just went off. It's just 74 degrees right now.
Always listening, man.
I'm still with the players on this. I think this is up to the players, but really watching tonight and like this whole season, it's kind of a ridiculous idea to where you think these guys are going to work things out on the court. I mean, they've been playing, they've been healthy. And I'm just like in the shower this morning, I'm like, you know what? Beal and Book really need the ball a lot to be any kind of good on this team, to be the superstar that they are. KD can get his stats, but those guys need the ball. That's going to hurt them, I think, down the stretch. Obviously, kind of Book lost his cool in this game with the rest later on, we'll talk about. But the fact that they need the ball to get going, it sucks because every game is just so different between both of them. Like, you never get anything consistent. So it's on the players. It's on the owner. It's on everybody. Just the fact that this roster is just really kind of fucking weird. They have all the pieces. They have the fries. But you don't really order three fucking burgers, do you? Maybe two burgers is good enough. But you don't really want three burgers with your fries, I feel like. So right now they got three burgers and they can't really fucking finish all of them, right? Does that make any sense?
Don't judge me, man. I like my
burgers. You get three burgers?
I get two.
Two. Two is like max, yeah.
Two and some fries. I don't blame Vogel in this one. I truly don't. I'm with you, Matthew, where I'm on the side that the players need to execute in this one. And if we have a team that has Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, and they can't get up for games without Frank Vogel giving them some fucking remember the Titans speech before a game, then Vogel's not the issue. Now, that's not to say that Vogel is not without sin this season. I've definitely had my frustrations with him. Some of the way that he's managed some of the rotations, some of the lack of game planning, almost like this overtrust. Like he's somebody who is, because of the egos on the team, he's just like, I trust you guys, instead of just like making them run sprints sometimes. Like, you guys fucked up, dude. You guys run sprints today, you know, and I get it. You're probably not doing that at the NBA level, but you need to have an edge to you. And Frank Vogel definitely has not had an edge at times. He seems annoyed at times when he's challenged with those types of questions as well. But tonight, I don't put it on him. I like I said, to kind of open the pod, I really feel like Oklahoma City without SGA rallied and put forth an amazing offensive effort, and being at home that carried over into the second half, whereas the Suns just couldn't sustain tonight. They really couldn't. And one of those kind of tipping points is, as you mentioned, you know, Devin Booker.
Big
Dick Booker. So Devin Booker on the evening, not a great game, right? Plays 27 minutes. He's 4 of 9 from the field. He has 14 points. He has 5 assists, 3 turnovers, 5 personal fouls. And with 4:57 left in the third quarter, he picked up his third foul. And essentially what happened with Booker is he had 2 fouls, and then he drove to the basket, thought he was fouled, fell down, grabbing his hip, grimacing. And then he immediately went right down and fouled somebody on the Thunder. Yep. And then 2 plays later, a foul that maybe Scott Foster was getting a little ticky-tack, but not the right move in that play. And then another foul that Frank Vogel challenged and wasn't upheld. So just not playing smart, playing frustrated and stupid. When you're down 18 points, 20 points, it's not the right way to act. So I know that the KD stands who permeate the chat from time to time are always like, well, you hold Kevin Durant accountable, but not Devin Booker. I don't know why the KD stands have a deeper voice, but they do. Maybe they go, you don't hold Kevin, you hold Kevin Durant accountable. Why don't you hold Devin Booker accountable? Or maybe they're Family Guy. They're like, hey, they're 3 blind mice. It's Peter Griffin for Family Guy. He's like, hey, why don't you hold Devin Booker accountable the same way you do that Kevin Durant, see? But I'm here to hold Devin Booker accountable for tonight. Bad timing. Piss poor performance. Not a leader. Not a leader in any capacity tonight. That's not how you lead your team, by allowing yourself to get frustrated. It's almost like Devin Booker holds a grudge against Scott Foster because of all the things that CP3 told him over a 3-season span, and said all the horrible things that Scott Foster said and done to CP3. He's like, dude, one time I was on the set of a State Farm commercial and Scott Foster pulled up and he de-pantsed me right in front of everybody. It's embarrassing. So it's almost like Booker had felt like he had to carry this legacy on of what CP3's experience with Scott Foster, and was essentially trying to go mano a mano with Foster. Oh yeah, you're gonna call this? Boom. He's like, yeah, foul. It, right when the team was teetering, the wheels were definitely wobbling at that part of the game, but the game wasn't gone yet. Like I said, there was 5 minutes left in the third. I mean, I could find out exactly what the score was when that occurred, and I'll tell you, like, the Suns were still in this. And they still had an opportunity to come back in and, or not come back in, but make it a game. So let's see here. Personal foul, Devin Booker. The Suns were down 19. And the free throws made it 21. With I mean, all you have to do is start sticking a couple threes, which we can do.
Yeah.
And good things will happen. I was not a fan of the way that Devin Booker conducted himself. And it reminded me of young Devin Booker of, I'm upset and this is how I'm going to show it. Not leading a team, but being like a spoiled child out there. I wasn't a fan of that tonight in any capacity.
No, I wasn't either. And I think the way that the game started in the first half, where the Thunder definitely, like you said, 62% from the field, 8-11 from three, the way the Suns held their composure in the first half and how they actually they had the double digits with 4 of their guys, with Grayson Allen with 12, Booker, or 13, Booker had 12, Beal had 11, and Kevin Durant had 14. So that's awesome. Like, you can obviously tell that they were sharing the ball. Sorry, too much half and half early. I think it gets kind of caught in my throat. So they were moving the ball well. Everyone was getting their shots off, and they were hanging in there. That's the one thing you kind of want to look at in this type of game. Like, last game, they got out ahead against the Nuggets, and they stayed there the whole game. They put them away early in the fourth quarter. This game, it's like, okay, well, the Thunder are coming out shooting lights out. How are the Suns going to respond? They held in there till halftime. Then in the third quarter, like, giving up, what was it, a 14-4 run or something, or 14-3 run to start the third quarter. You're like, oh, fuck, man. And you're just like, well, just try to hang in there. But you get the feeling as a fan watching that, you're just like, it's over, right? And then when Booker starts to do that, it's not as bad as like when Draymond's kind of just going out of ref and getting kicked out of the game. He owned up to it after last time he got kicked out. Draymond did. Booker gets to own up to this one, man. Like, this is a game that you have to win, and you have to stay with it no matter what your relationship is with Scott Foster. it shouldn't matter. The Suns obviously got, there were some bad calls called against the Suns, and you just, you don't want to live and die on that, because it got into like a battle in the paint where it was just like everyone's getting to the rim. The Suns were not getting calls, but they shouldn't have gotten calls, but they got in their own head. It was Booker led that, but most of the Suns, they all got in their head. And then the Oklahoma City on the other side, they were getting to the rim. They were getting anything they wanted at the rim, and they were getting some foul calls. So it became that kind of game. And if they're going to play that game, the Suns are going to lose that game because they can't manage to get any calls right now. And then they get frustrated. So it sucks in that point where I just wanted them to hang in there and just try to make this a game in the fourth quarter, but they lost it in the third. And that's very, very disappointing.
Agreed. It's, you can't be a championship level team if you're that mentally weak. And that's what my big thing was entering this game, is tonight was about understanding what we've known all season. I love what Jam says in the chat. And again, everyone who's joining us, thank you for doing so. If you're commenting, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, anywhere, we appreciate it. We read all these. We try to. And Jam says, we are rationalizing on the deck of the Titanic. The ship is going down. And it's one of those things that, you know, I wrote the preview today for brightsideofthesun.com. Check it out. One of the things I talked about, you know, what's the key to a Suns victory? Mental toughness. This is a team that is going to be without SGA, and you can't go, oh, okay, well, they're without SGA, so we'll be just like Wemby, right? Well, they're without Wemby, so we should be okay. No, you need to display mental toughness. But to Jam's point of saying we're rationalizing on the deck of the Titanic, it's been an issue all season. This is not a mentally tough team. This is a team that was without a true defined leader. And when Bradley Beal says something in a post-game press conference, we get excited about, like, ooh, it's like that meme with Leonardo DiCaprio from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's like, ooh, yeah. Ooh, look at that. It's leadership. That's what Devin Booker should be doing night in and night out. If he's learned anything from Chris Paul, it should be how to be a leader on the court. To be somebody who uses your cerebralness to be effective in the game and with your teammates, not to hold grudges against Scott Foster and try to one up him and see how many fouls he can call on you just so you can piss and moan and walk your ass back to the bench. It's not leadership. This team is the Titanic without a rudder. And this season has been an iceberg, and the door was definitely big enough to hold Jack. Why did we have to lose Leonardo DiCaprio? I wonder these things. It keeps me up at night from time to time.
You know, Booker, the way this team looks, someone actually, I don't know if it was in the chat or on Twitter, it was just like, they just look like, why doesn't the media, there was in the chat a little bit ago, why does the media just ask them, like, why do you guys not care? Because in these games, and we had last game, which was a surprise, but they did beat the Nuggets earlier on, and they're the only team that beat them twice at home this year, which is awesome, but these games that follow up those big victories are just like that. They're like, why does it matter, right? Scott Klaus asks, what if the media just asks, hey, why don't you guys care what I just said? So I think the fact that they look that way is just why, like, I ended the pod last pod a little tipsy, having some wine, some Sex in the City outing last time. It was quite the fun.
Jake is such a Miranda.
And stuff, huh? He's a Miranda. So the way I ended last pod, I was like, well, you never know what's going to happen next game. Amen. I didn't believe in this team to really continue it, but it's just the hopes. And like the Titanic, yes, it's going to go down. But the look on Book's face, Kevin Durant's in his own head, but there's just that look of like, this is how I feel. He just seems like he's seen some shit in life, and he knows that this is pointless and it doesn't fucking matter. That's how he looks this year, and that's how this whole season,
you know what,
has
Jokic
been.
Does the same, has the same look, but he goes out there and he gives his team a chance.
But he admits that he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Jokic admits that basketball doesn't matter and all that matters is his kids and stuff like that, which is awesome. He's very truthful. Maybe Book just needs a kid because, yeah, nothing else really matters. But that's the way he just looks. That's the look on his face when he plays these games.
Now, I will say to Scott in the chat who did ask that question, what if the media just asked, hey, why don't you guys care? I will say that I feel the media has indirectly asked that question. They haven't asked it that bluntly because you're not going to get the desired response. You'll probably be made into a comment when you get the response from, you know, you'll become viral pretty quick because you'll get eviscerated by the coach and probably, you know, there's politics behind the media stuff. But Frank has been asked essentially those types of questions indirectly. Dwayne Rankin of the Arizona Republic does an amazing job of keeping it real with Frank. And he did it a couple games ago against the Spurs. And he's just like, how does that happen? He goes, we weren't focused. And Dwayne was like, how? And, you know, Frank, he's not going to give you the right answer. He's not going to give you what you want to hear. No. You can ask the question all you want. You're never going to get your response, because all that he said in response essentially was, well, if I knew that, it wouldn't have happened. So, I mean, it's going to be a passive comment. So as much as you, and I agree, because Scott does respond, he goes, but I wish we had an answer. We all wish we had an answer. You're never going to get it. You can ask the question all day long. And the reason you're not going to get something that direct is from a political standpoint within the media room, it doesn't benefit you to do that. You're just going to get yourself blacklisted, and they're not going to give you credentials and things of that nature if you're that aggressive. There's a strategic way to do it. And Dwayne Rankin, I highly recommend, if you don't follow Dwayne Rankin on Twitter, you definitely should, because he does a great job of asking those questions. You know, it's like, there's like him, Dana Scott does a great job asking questions, Gerald Bourget, you know, they're going to get you a semblance of what's occurring, but you're never going to get the true answer. You're just not, it doesn't benefit the coach either to give you any truism unless he's highly frustrated. And a night like tonight, I don't think that Frank Vogel is going to sit around and be highly frustrated. The Oklahoma City Thunder are a damn good team. This is even without SGA. They are a damn good team. They're a top offense. They're a top defense. They hustle. They shoot extremely well. Just because SGA is out there doesn't mean that all of a sudden this team's just going to fall apart and crash into a side of a mountain. It's Oklahoma. There are no mountains. Just like Kentucky. Shout out, Nephew Hayden.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Talk about Grayson Allen.
Hi, Barbie.
Oh, hi, Alan.
Oh, Grayson, Grayson Allen, our fuck shit up guy.
What a weird night for Grayson Allen. He ends 13 points. He has 9 total rebounds, 5 assists, but he's 6 of 16 and some amazing shots, a great dunk. There's one play where he's almost like Jordan-esque, where he goes across the lane and kind of flips it back in. But he goes 6 of 16 from the field and 1 of 9 from beyond the arc. If Grayson has just a normal Grayson night and hits like 5 threes, that's 12 more points, and at least the Suns only lose by 13.
So I've noticed this too. You know, even when we got Grayson out, the big thing was in the playoffs, he's kind of, you know, played off the court. Defensively, he can't really guard. And when you want a guy next to Booker, obviously we have Beal right now, but if you want that two guard next to Booker, if Booker was playing point, you would want more of a defender. So I wanted to ask you, his defense and the way that the Oklahoma City Thunder were just kind of getting by him one after another, one play after another in the second quarter, third quarter too, where I don't think he didn't make a shot in the second half. He just defensively, he was just kind of run off the court. It happens sometimes in these big games where you want to see him kind of step up defensively. He could be a nuisance for sure, but I feel like in these type of games when you're playing a team like this, where OKC can get by, I guess, anybody, like Lou Dort, Josh Giddey. I know Giddey was kind of held up by Bobo sometime in the second quarter, and that's when the Suns kind of turned things around there and they got back down by 6. But with Giddey and Dort just kind of going back to back against Grayson Allen, just having their way with them, it just shows me, it's like, okay, is this the way it's going to be in the playoffs? Because everyone right now, they're talking about the extension, right? I mean, his shooting is incredible, but the way I view it as, by the time the season's over, depending how it ends, and it looks like it's not going to end very well for the Suns, I think it's going to be an historical great shooting season by Grayson Allen, but we will see why I think we're kind of holding off on the extension and just bringing him back this quickly, because I don't know if he can really hold up in these type of games where they are fast and the Suns are so slow defensively already, where he's letting these guys get by. But also it's like, you kind of know, it's like the Thunder tonight are just going to score every possession, right? The Suns did out rebound them in the first half 20-11, but it doesn't matter because the Thunder are going to score every possession they go down there, because they have such great looks, such great ball movement. And then when Grayson Allen's down there, it's just kind of a liability sometimes. So it was a tough watch defensively. So I just want to get your take on him defensively and if you think that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, you know, going to the shooting side of it, this is definitely an outlier season, what he's been able to accomplish. So you want to reward that and hope that even if there's regression next year, it's still, and he still performs as an elite three-point shooter. And he complements your big three very nicely on the offensive end. We obviously know that the challenges with this team are on the defensive side of the ball. So if you take a deeper dive into Grayson Allen and you look at what B-Ball Index has to offer, okay, so B-Ball Index, a great place to really understand some advanced statistics and see how other players perform throughout the league. If you look at some of his defensive statistics, right, perimeter defense, you know, overall perimeter defense, they don't even have him rated. And I don't know why that is. But, you know, pickpocket rating, right? Like he's a 32 percentile, he's rated a D. His passing lane defense, 31 percentile, he's rated a D. 3-point contests, 43%, he's a C minus. Steals, he's a 62%, a B minus, right? You go to his interior defense, his rim deterrence, obviously, he's not a great interior defensive player. But what's key to understand him is if you go to his defensive matchups, he takes on the primary ball handler 93% of the time, which is pretty insane if you think about it. Because so he, essentially, and I'll make this a little bit more, you know, for those of you who are watching, you can see I've got some stuff pulled up here from B-Ball Index. 93, he's in the 27.7% of the time he's guarding the primary ball handler, which is in the 93rd percentile in the league. He 15.3% of the time he's guarding a shot creator, 77th percentile, an athletic finisher, 70th percentile. So he's taking on what's unfortunate for the Suns is he's forced to become our primary defender because of Devin Booker, because of Bradley Beal. They put him on the primary ball handler and the best shot creators on the opposing defense. Okay. So he guards the point guard 29% of the time, the shooting guard 31% of the time. And so when you ask, you know, what do I think of his defense? Is it ultimately a liability for the Suns? Yes, it is, because they put him in a situation where he's going to be a liability. It's not putting him in a situation to be successful. Should he be provided an extension? Absolutely. And this is the reason I say that, is because, one, if Ishbia is willing to spend the money, you spend the money. Because what do contracts mean, Matthew?
Absolutely nothing nowadays.
Nothing. And so
but not for the Suns.
But what it does is it allows value to occur on your team. So you're not stuck with a bunch of players who have veteran minimum contracts. And if you need to make a move, if you're trying to improve your team because he's perhaps underperforming, or if you're trying to blow your team up because you're underperforming, if you give a contract like him, he's making 18 to 20 million next year, 18 to 25, whatever the projected numbers are for Grayson Allen, you could probably get back some draft capital and some pieces that you can move forward with. So I think you absolutely provide him the extension, knowing that he isn't going to be somebody who's going to be great on defense, and knowing that this year is going to be an outlier for him from beyond the arc. So you have to take all that into account. And, you know, yeah, when this postseason comes, he will become the pigeon. Like, don't get me wrong, Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, they are on offense, they will be taxed. They will be the guys that people are picking up full court, 94 feet, and trying to wear them out a la Chris Paul for three playoff runs for Phoenix. On the defensive end, there's going to be high screen roll switches to get on Grayson Allen, because he doesn't possess the athleticism to defend. Like, at least Bradley Beal and Devin Booker have some athleticism. Grayson Allen doesn't have necessarily that athleticism or especially that lateral quickness. So, I mean, if you get a high screen role and you somehow get like Booker or Bradley Beal and Grayson Allen, like that's a win every time. If you're playing a good team like the Thunder. So,
yeah, and everyone's just so out of place on the team. I mean, there's just times where Beal and Booker are just kind of gone. They're on the floor, but you just don't notice them. So you just can't have that with superstars or stars in the league. I know the Beal, the contract's really bad and it's terrible. And we say this every year about somebody, mm-hmm. and Beal is atrocious. He's probably one of the worst.
That no trade clause. That's the worst part about it, man. Yeah. It'd be great to take Beal and just trade him somewhere next year and get a bunch of shit.
When does the trade clause end?
When his contract's up in like 4 years.
What?
Yeah.
I thought it was just this year. All right. Well,
nope.
Fuck that.
Nope. We stuck with Bradley Beal, man, unless he agrees to being traded, unless like Devin Booker and Kevin Durant go to him and be like, dude, we think that your farts smell and we don't want you on this team anymore.
He would playing this season. You would think if it doesn't end well for the Suns, which it won't, like I said earlier, you would think though that Beal would be like, you know what? Like I can't play with Booker. I can't do this. I got to have my own team. So a team like the Hornets who have a new owner, maybe like they don't want LaMelo Ball anymore. Maybe they're, you know, who knows? Maybe they want someone like, and Beal's like, you know never, what? I gotta get out of here.
You never know. You never know. But Bradley Beal's got a sweet deal here, man. He gets to be the tertiary guy. Nothing comes down on him for the way that he plays. It's all going to go to Kevin Durant or Devin Booker. So, yeah, not yet is correct. But until then, why would he have any inkling to say, you know what, I want to go somewhere and rebuild? No, he wants to stay here as long as he can and make that sweet, sweet money that he's going to make. And it gets more and more every year. So, I mean, these are obviously things that are down the line. Focusing back on this game, let's talk a little bit about Kevin Durant.
Who the heck are you?
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play the game.
Kevin Durant tonight led the Phoenix Suns in scoring with 26 points. He was 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. Matthew, he had my favorite field goal shooting percentage.
21.
21%.
No, I don't know. What is it? 48?
588. What makes 588?
Blue?
10 of 17 from the field, dude. Episode 5. This is episode 588. Holy shit.
This is some sort of color of blue. Oh, it is, huh?
This is episode 588.
580. Oh, my God. What are we fucking MASH? Why are we having any fucking episodes?
Yeah, 10 divided by 17 is 588. Oh. 10-17 is my birthday, as Got well it. As Eminem and Alan Jackson and Chris Kirkpatrick and Evel Knievel and Ziggy Marley. What do you think of Kevin Durant tonight?
Well, he's the only bright spot in the fourth quarter, obviously, hitting 3 threes. I don't care tonight. I don't. I mean, he's amazing. He did his job. He absolutely played the way defensively. He had some blocks early in the game. Again. Like last game, he had the 8 turnovers last game, but he was, what, he had 5 blocks last game. Tonight he had 1, which I'm sure he had a couple, but this always happens. It's only 1, which makes no sense. But I think this is the ultimate game that you're going to get from him in order to win a game. There's nothing much else he could do, but I just don't give a fuck right now about I can't stand the fact that we waste these kind of games where like last game we win with his 8 turnovers and he only has 3 turnovers tonight and just plays a pretty perfect game, I feel like, and then we just lose. So it's kind of frustrating.
It is. It's, you know, the peaks and valleys, and we've seen it with other teams. You know, the 62-point performance by Devin Booker and they lose to the Pacers. It's just frustrating because I thought we got a good Kevin Durant game tonight. We definitely did, despite everything that the opposing fan base was doing. They were booing him and they were trying to get in his head and he was just not letting it occur. It was interesting how he matched up with Chet Holmgren, which left Josh Giddey to take on Yusuf Nurkic, who just came off of an ankle injury.
It's insane.
So good game by Kevin Durant. Let's talk about Nurk being back. Oh, hold on. Let's talk about Kevin Durant tomorrow. Kevin Durant was amazing. I love him so much. I'm wearing a shirt that says KD35 on it. He's the best player the Phoenix Suns have ever had, ever on their team. Don't at me. Just kidding. He's not.
This is.
I love Lane.
Yeah.
Nerk.
Delicious definition. Make them boys go crazy.
Oh.
That's what. Gonna... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask something really weird, so you should probably go first.
You should probably ask something very weird.
So there's this new kind of disorder going around where people actually see faces as demons. Humans walking around, there's like a demon-looking face. So I don't know if it's better to have that or watch this season for the Suns. I don't know which one I would choose. I would probably choose a demon one for sure, though, if you were to ask me. Gun to the head, demon
Interesting.
Face.
Interesting. Good to know. Gun to the head. Creepy Crawly says he got to his spots. Yeah, no shit. What's he supposed to do? He's supposed to go to Booker's spots.
This is
Booker
all we
went
do.
To Kevin Durant's spots.
Make or miss league, he gets to his spots. And that's just like me, Creepy. I know. That's how I talk. That's all I say. He got to his spots. He made his shots. That's all I'd ever talk about. That's the only way we win games.
It was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. No, Kevin Durant was actually supposed to go to Grayson Allen's spots, but he ended up at his spots, and he was like, "What am I doing here? I don't have calves that look like Grayson Allen's kanks. I don't got kanks." But Yusuf Nurkic. So this was interesting because as the game started, that was the defensive assignments. Josh Giddey was guarded by Yusuf Nurkic, and I guess it makes sense because Giddey's a very horrible 3-point shooter. So it's like, cool, we don't have to have him guard the perimeter because Josh Giddey can't hit threes. That was the game plan. And initially, I feel like it was working because in the first quarter, Giddey was 3 of 7 from the field and he had 6 points. But Giddey can play make. But if you to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, you want Giddey shooting. But as time progressed, he realized he's like, oh, I can just like. Nurkic might not come all the way out to the perimeter to guard me, but he's going to stand at the free throw line and I can still get by him. Josh Giddey, 24 minutes tonight, 23 points, 10 of 15 from the field, was 1 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 9 assists as well as 7 rebounds. It was a bad defensive strategy. It didn't work. But I don't know what would work right there. And that's the challenge there, because you want to impose your will against the Oklahoma City Thunder because you know that they're a small team. But this would have been a great night for Thad Young. This would have been a great night to just go, you know what, Nurkic, let's give you another night off considering you just came off an ankle injury, because playing small ball is going to be more effective here because of the way that this team plays with speed. The majority of their players have a quick first step or a slashing ability, and Nurk was in the torture chamber tonight. Maybe that's why we should blame Frank Vogel. Should have let him stay. Yeah. Like, we should have got Thad minutes tonight. We got 0 Thad minutes, and tonight,
because he had
a
good
game. And I mentioned it, I think in my last
matchups.
Yeah, I mentioned it somewhere.
We got to play matchups, dude.
It wasn't playing matchups necessarily. It was just, this was one where it's such, the Thunder is such a unique team that almost, or like having Nurk out there almost sets you up for failure, I feel.
Yeah, it's weird how the tables have turned. The turntables have turned. Like, he's been playing pretty bad lately. I think the most frustrating part is with Giddey, with his little floater from like 18 feet that goes in and looks terrible. Like, it's just an insane kind of shot he has. And that's the most frustrating part, because the Thunder team, like as a whole, we're just making everything, obviously. And then you have those ones going in too. So that is frustrating. But this all makes sense, though. Like, with Giddey and the pedo stuff, like, I think Oklahoma City, they haven't
go there.
No, they haven't won a championship in 60 years, 50 years since the Seattle, like 1979
is correct.
So I think the Thunder, they're probably, you know, yeah, I guess I won't go there. All right. You halted me.
I have no idea where you're going to go, but like,
I'm just saying all the P. Diddy stuff and all that shit's probably coming out to like kind of mask this Josh Giddey stuff, so that way they can win and no one really thinks about it anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly why P. Diddy was out there throwing fucking random P. Diddler was out there diddling party. Don't even, it's just, we're a sports podcast.
Yeah, let's be distracted by basketball.
Yes, I'll be a happy. I'll be a happy. What does Kurt Cobain say in one of his songs on the In Utero album?
Everyone is gay.
He does say that.
That's the album before, though, right? Or is that CD?
What else? No, that's never. That's off.
Everyone is gay.
That's Never Mind.
Frogs are gay.
and I'm not talking about Rape Me. He says, oh gosh, what's the song? This is going to drive me nuts now. And I'm gonna look it up right here. Nirvana In Utero. And like, this is all to make a point that doesn't matter. What are his different songs? Cancer. Don't want to talk about Eat Your Cancer. It wasn't that one. It's about being distracted. I'm going to find it. It's off one of his. It's not on Heart Shaped Box. I feel like it's on All Apologies. Oh, no, All Apologies. That is on In Utero. It might be the same song, I feel. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. Talk About Something While I Look This Up. Tell me more about Josh Giddey.
You did he? So I think Jay-Z and Beyonce are probably... You know what's so weird? It's like, I've known this stuff for forever, and it's coming true, but what I really do think, until you find this, John, I'm just going to go on this little rant. It's nothing bad.
Go for it.
I really do think, though, since, you know, movies, music, people still like music, but entertainment is just such a weird thing now where no one's really distracted by the TV shows and movies. They all suck. So I think this is a new entertainment where, like, these entertainers are going through real life shit and we'll watch it. That's the only thing that's going to distract us right now. So I think that's what's really going on. Did you find it?
Oh, I feel like I'm getting close. I can't find it. But it pretty much talks about just, like, I'm just going to be happily distracted and not deal with the shit. Like, there's the whole world's just fucked up in every way, shape, and form. And if you sit there and you start to go down those pathways, it really takes you out. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, we're going down a dark hole right now.
We are, man. Like, anyone who's listening
likes it. Matthew Pollitt.
Yeah. Like, I'm looking at all the lyrics on the Nevermind album.
Life is great. I love life. I do, and I love Bol Bol, but don't ever play him. And don't play Thad after a good game, so.
Gosh, what's the freaking lyric? That's going to drive me nuts. Nah, let's see what the comments say.
Anyways, it doesn't matter. I don't think they were helping you out on that one, man. Heart-shaped box.
That's going to drive me nuts.
You'll think of it right after.
I'll put it in the comments for everybody. Let's just go to the subreddit stakeout.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It was me, Kermit the Frog, hanging out in Oklahoma City tonight. I was not singing any of those songs that John was singing earlier. What a piggy he is. Oh, wait, I don't laugh like that.
You can find that. What a weird pod. This is so fucked up.
What's that behind me? Oh, that's a kitty litter box inside of a box. And it has LED lighting, so Smudge, when she goes to the bathroom, she can see where she's pooping.
Oh, that's so cute. Okay,
okay, well, that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you some of the great things that the Thunder fans were saying tonight. This is actually kind of entertaining, so if you haven't been entertained up to this point, I apologize for both John and Matthew talking about P. Diddy and such. Booker's such a wimp. Interesting way to describe Booker, wouldn't you say, Matthew?
I've never heard that before.
A wimp, huh?
I wouldn't think of him as a wimp.
What about KD and getting locked up by shorter, stocky guards? Name a more iconic duo.
Is it Dort?
Yes.
Yeah, Dort always kills him, I feel like. Sorry, Kermit, I'm going to get mad at you.
I feel like my Kermit impression's off tonight. Am I wrong?
No, it sounds good. I think tonight's pod's just kind of off. I think it's something to do with the eclipse or something coming up.
Okay, Miss Piggy. Okay, crowd really despises KD. And then somebody responded, hell yeah, I'll drink to that.
All Duncan trash, dude.
Kermit's over here getting fucked up. I just thought this was a funny comment. Is anyone else only getting Spanish announcers that have cocks? My mom has Dish and said the game is in English. The commercials are in English, but the game is in Spanish.
Cocks. Spanish announcers have cocks.
Dort is the end boss.
that KD needs to join another Warriors super team to beat. Question, what would happen if your team spent the first quarter throwing the ball as hard as they could straight into the other team's face? Yes, I'm drinking. It's a great comment. They're just sitting there coming up with hypotheticals. Like, they're just kicking the shit out of us. They're like, yeah, what if we just beat through the ball? Grayson Allen thinks he's Isaiah Joe. Sorry if I'm late, but that flop call on Dort was bogus. I had to go for a smoke when I saw it, and I didn't want to absolutely smash my screen. Thank God for the Zaza. I'm chilling right now. Book is a flopping free throw merchant, which is hysterical coming from a fan base that has SGA. Can the Suns just throw in the towel so we can see some Bol Bol and IT lineups? Can I get a fuck KD? Just a double fuck you to Allen. And then the comment of the night. Are you ready for this?
You ready for this?
I just... John just kissed me. That was awkward.
Whoops.
What's brighter, the actual sun or the shine of the light off KD's bald spot?
The Sun's Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
It's pretty messed up, man.
That is pretty messed up,
pretty
dude.
Messed up, dude.
I don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah. Used to be a thing.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and send us 5%. Oh, all right. What else do you have in your notes?
Let me check.
Please check your notes.
Notes.
Littering and speeding.
Went through it all.
And?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
That's all I got.
Jam star of the game.
All right, Jamsters, this is a reminder, if you're watching along live, thank you for putting up with us. We like you too. Let us know who your jam star of the game is. Matthew.
Yeah.
Who's your jam star of the game?
I'll give it to KD. Straight out KD. No question.
Yeah, straight up. Yeah, I think I don't even think it's a contest tonight. I really don't. No. I mean, the way that he was somebody who actually looked like he gave two shits tonight. I obviously think that when you're playing against a team that is booing you every possession you can, and every time you touch the ball, I just think that how you respond says a lot about the man. But at the same time, this whole team just had its deficiencies. Didn't necessarily have a great game, as we all know, yada, yada, yada. Whatever. What's up next for the Suns, man? Pelicans on Monday. Shit. Pelicans on Monday. Last time we played the Pelicans, yeah. Booker dropped 52 on them, and we beat them up pretty bad. So tell me what you're thinking about when you think about the Pelicans.
Well, a team that beat the Thunder just not too long ago. It's not too long ago.
They beat the Bucks.
You know, these scores are crazy, right? You would think with the free throw disparity between pre-All-Star and after the All-Star, like, you think there'd be maybe more points? But I feel like there's a lot of, like, 197s out there nowadays. Is it because teams are tired now? Because they actually have to play?
No, because the fouls. They're not getting free throws all day long.
Yeah, there's no stoppage. I know it's the free throws, but, like, maybe they're just getting tired because there's no stoppages from the free throws, too?
Potentially. I mean, there's...
But, yeah, I guess the free throw amounts do add up. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not getting... If Booker's not getting to the line 8 times, that's a potential 8 points that could be down. I mean,
yeah, you're right. I went at that the opposite way for sure. No, I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun test. And we do play them 2 more times. We were 2 games behind them, but now we're 2.5, right? I think in the standings. So,
correct.
It would have been nice to win this and then grab those 2 games and kind of move into that 5th spot because you don't really want to play the Clippers. So that would have been nice, but now I think the Suns are kind of settling for that 7th or 8th seed. They don't think they want to play the Clippers. I think they want to play, of course, the Nuggets or this Thunder team, maybe, or even the Wolves.
Well, the Wolves, last I checked, were beating up on the Nuggets pretty bad. Man. Yeah.
Do you remember when I predicted that Gobert was going to be better on the Wolves? He's going to be a fan favorite and overtake Cat as the second guy. Yeah, last season.
Long time ago. Yeah. And look at you. Look at you now.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hi. This is the worst part I ever did in my life. I'm sorry, guys.
Really? It's not that bad.
I just feel like I'm kind of off. I don't know. It's like Friday night, but I think tired. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, sorry. What's your thoughts on the Pelicans, John?
Fuck. It was all apologies. Damn it. After all was that. It? Yeah. It says, I wish I was like you. Easily amused. That line. I love that line.
Yeah.
Because he's sitting there saying, like, he wishes he was like us, easily amused. Like, yeah, we'll just watch basketball and be happy and not worry about all the bullshit going on. It's like, and I go back to like a Jackson Brown song called The Pretender. And he's like, I'm going to be a happy idiot and struggle for the legal tender. It's like, fuck it, dude. I'm just going to be a happy idiot. Ignorance is bliss. The Pelicans, yeah, I definitely want to see who, what, where, when, how we match up against this team. This is a team that, you know, nobody talks about the Pelicans and what they've done. Now, obviously, Brandon Ingram's out, and, you know, we don't know who they're going to be without him, especially as they play against the Suns. End of the road trip, right? Because then we come home for a four-game homestand, the last homestand of the season. So we'll see. I don't know what to expect. Night to night, I don't know what to expect with this Phoenix Suns team. And if anybody can tell me different, you're lying. Let's see here. So Maya says KD is my jam star. Suns Fever says KD. IT for jam star from the big Warthog. Or is that Warthog? Isaiah Thomas from Alex Kroll. KD from Kiko, only one who showed up. Maya says, my shirt, John's shirt is my jam star.
Mail it to her.
No.
Okay.
And Jam says, great, great song, which I concur with. It is a great song. What else do you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Nothing. You know, Kurt Cobain actually only did heroin because he thought it was cool and everyone had to do it. Like, he literally said, he's like, the only reason I started doing it is because I thought when you're a rock star, you have to do things like that to fit in and be cool. So that sucks. That's depressing.
I wish he wanted to be easily amused. He wished he could be like us.
I
went to the Diamondbacks game yesterday.
Oh, yeah. How was it? Some great picks, too, by the way. If you're not following John on Instagram. Some good picks from the game with him and his mom and my sister, his wife, his sister. It was my sister wives.
It was one. So I go to opening day every year with my mom. And yesterday was the first game I've been to where the weather was so nice. It's just gorgeous out for a ball game. And, you know, I was there with my mom, my beautiful wife, and seeing the flyover. But a couple really cool things. One, they've turned it into like a club in there. Like, they put in LED lighting, and like when the Diamondbacks hit home runs, like all the lights start flashing, and it's really kind of cool. Before the game starts, they turn off all the lights. Like, you're inside the Suns arena, right? Like, they turn off all the lights and then they start like the intro and stuff. So that was pretty cool. And then, of course, we witnessed one of the most historic innings in the history, the most historic inning in the history of Diamondbacks baseball, where they scored 14 runs. They didn't hit a home run. They scored 14 runs in an inning. The most runs in an inning on opening day in the history of Major League Baseball. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Wow. And the best part about it is we were sitting in the outfield bleachers, like two or three rows up from the field. No one sat in front of us. And then like the person, like, you know, three seats and then one seat and then kind of like a little walkway. No one sat in the last seat. So we had all the room.
Hell yeah, dude.
Nice and comfortable. And then we left in the seventh inning because it was 16-1.
Do they do seven inning games now?
No.
Don't they do the double headers that are seven innings?
No, they did that during COVID.
They did do that. Okay. But they did do that before, right?
Yeah. They did that during COVID, like the season after COVID, just to like catch up on stuff.
Yeah. They should always.
But no, the games go fast now with all the pitch clock and stuff. It's constantly going.
It's good.
Like, we went up because the ladies needed to go to the restroom. And when we went up, I'm like, dude, it's already the bottom of the seventh. Like, we missed the seventh inning stretch already. Should we just dip? And I was like, you dip, we dip, we dip. I was like, yeah, okay.
You guys dipped out of there, huh?
And then we dipped out. And then I took off all my Diamondbacks gear. And I'm like, oh,
give me some Dodger. They look good, blue. Though. Those are some cool-looking shirts. I like the purple.
I wore the old school stuff, man.
Yeah, it looks good.
I like the purple. I'm a Suns fan. What can I say?
Yeah, no, it's good to see that stadium filled up. And I was
the only time it'll happen this season.
Yeah, that's the only time it ever happens. And maybe they make it back to the World Series. But I did see that the Oakland A's
yeah,
are getting a new stadium in Vegas.
Yeah, they're going to be moving to Vegas.
That looks
Vegas,
pretty dope.
Vegas A's.
I like their new arena, their new stadium. I think it's pretty and new then, ballpark.
And then they're going to have an NBA team in no time. And then the studio.
Oh, Seattle, yeah. LeBron's going to own it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. The Las Vegas LeBrons.
Yeah.
And Bronny James will be on it. And his other son will be on it. And they'll still beat the Suns because the Suns are inconsistent as fuck.
Because they'll be in Vegas.
You realize, like, I don't come on the pod, they win. I do come on the pod, they lose.
It's been four in a row, right? Because you missed the Spurs in the last game.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, shit. Sorry, John.
Makes me sad.
Yeah.
On that note, Champsters, thanks for hanging out with us. We went off the rails a little bit. You know what?
Yeah.
The Suns went off the rails tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for hanging out with us. Make sure you read my writing at brightsideofthesun.com. Make sure you follow me at Darth Void on Twitter. Make sure you follow Matthew Lissy. And make sure you follow the show at Suns Jam. And that's all I got. Happy Friday. We'll see you Monday. Ooh, a whole weekend without Suns basketball. It's going to be nice. And some of that's going to happen very quick here for us for the entire summer.
Yeah, so get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, go home and get used to your family.
Yeah, get used to your family. Happy Easter.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.